for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday evening service, December 28, 1999, at the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. The speaker for this evening is Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas.
Amen. Brother Jack.
Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. Just enjoying ourselves here at Lake Hamilton, as we always do, and you know, the ministry that has gone before, that I've been here for, I thoroughly enjoyed it. My remarks tonight will be intended to compliment those that have already been made. If it sounds otherwise, I didn't mean it to be so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Thank the Lord. I always have enjoyed coming here and ministering, sharing, and get to hear a lot of good preaching here in the presence of the Lord, and that's what I like. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to minister a while tonight on, I guess I would entitle this the Kingdom of God. I guess I might entitle that all of mine, Kingdom of God. But the Kingdom of God is the Kingdom itself, the Word, by the Word itself, defines itself, Kingdom. King, and the D-O-M is for dominion, and it's a dominion ruled by a king. If you don't have kings, then it could be ruled by a prime minister or even a prince or whoever is ruling it would it'd still be a kingdom. But that's the primary definition of the word by effect. It just defines itself. It's a dominion ruled over by a king. You remember when Moses got a commission to go to Israel and to Egypt and deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. He went with just the word of God, and well, he did have a peculiar staff in his hand that could do a few tricks with. And he went in, and the first thing he told Pharaoh was, God said, "Let his people go." God said that Israel's his firstborn, and if you don't let him go, God's going to require your firstborn. That was the first message he brought him. And it was finally executed, wasn't it? And he said, "Well, what? Show me a sign." So he threw down his staff and a rod, and it became a serpent. Well, that didn't upset nobody much around there. The Pharaoh just motion for him to bring in a couple of the magicians. Soothsayers, they threw down their rods and they turned to serpents too. However, Moses proved superiority there by eating up the others, but they had duplicated his signs. And then the water was turned to blood and they were able to duplicate that. But Moses didn't get discouraged like most of us would and hey, decided if God ain't going to back up his word, well, I'm getting out of here. But he just held on. And what he knew was that he was going to find a dominion pretty soon that they couldn't counterfeit. Now, the enemy can counterfeit most of the things that we've done, the miraculous things that we've done through Pentecost and until now. But I think that we're moving into a dominion that he can't counterfeit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'll be ever glad to work in that dominion, won't you? Ours is our life is a paradox. We're here, and And we're in the midst of two kingdoms. There's a kingdom there's a domain that's ruled by man, and the genius of man, and the intellect of man, and then there's a kingdom that God reigns over, and it's ruled by God. And we're in the minority tonight. The kingdom of the world is more populous than the kingdom of God is. But we're moving to do something about that, and I think that I have no fear that we're on the winning side.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But there's another peculiarity here. We're more acquainted with this kingdom that we must detest than we are with the kingdom that we must embrace. We spend a lot of hours each day in this kingdom. We know how to operate in it, and we know how to relate to it, and how to relate to it. But the kingdom of God, we don't know as much about how to relate to that. But what we would like to do, I know what we'd like to do. We'd like to just skim off the best of each kingdom, and go with that. and that would be it would be a selfish desire and a personal one, of course, but I can see where that we might would like to do that. But I have to tell you right here in the mouth of the gun that we can't do it. It won't work. You have to renounce one and embrace the other. And you have to do it in more than word for the each kingdom has its own society, its own customs, its own way of life. And if your way of life seems to shape up too much by the kingdom of the world, it means that you belong to the kingdom of the world, and you're just kindly bartering and trying to get into the kingdom of God. You have to be born into this kingdom. Hallelujah. You don't come here by votes of election. We come by election, but the election is of God. Hallelujah. And so now that we have been elected, what must we do? We must make our calling and election sure. And to do that, we have plenty of instructions right here, don't we? All right, so I'm going to read now to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I may be crossing some of the same territory that Brother Copeland did. I may not, but I may. I'm just kind of going by ear here. In Ephesians, chapter 1, and here is the choicest verse in all the Bible. It is the most meaningful. It tells the story of God and of the kingdom of God. And the whole thing is contained here in just one little old verse, and I'm going to read it to you. All right. But I'll read Brother Dale read right up to it. He read the verse above it. And I'm going to read that one again. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, here comes the goody. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, this tells me that, let's notice here and get this clear, that the word dispensation is singular here, that in the dispensation that's singular of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. He's choosing out a single dispensation to put everything together. He's going to put it all together in this dispensation that is a dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, notice that the word times is plural. It wouldn't change it any, and so I'll just read it this way, that in the dispensation of the fullness of dispensations, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You notice I changed the word times into dispensations to make sure we're not making any mistakes here. We are told right here that God has brought everything, everything's right where it's supposed to be tonight in God. And he has chosen the last dispensation, or the dispensation that he calls the fullness of dispensations. And in this dispensation, he'll finish the work that he has begun. I'm confident, said the Apostle Paul, that he who hath begun a good work in us will finish it or complete it against that day, until the day of Christ. All right. So, there are seven dispensations, as you know. Is everybody familiar with the dispensations? Seven dispensations, and we are about to enter into the seventh one. And when we enter into that one, that's the dispensation of purification. That's a dispensation that God will bring a cleansing to us in that dispensation. God will finish everything that he has begun. There'll always be a people outside of God that just won't accept God. No matter what, they just will not accept God, and they're going to be lost. But for all that will come to God, and all that has come to God, you know, there is a congregation in the heavens now that's waiting for us to move on these things and to bring perfection to ourselves so that they too can be perfected. They moved right up to the line of perfection, but they couldn't go any further because of the timetable of God. Yeah. You can't get ahead of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, now, let me give you some scripture here to start you thinking, working overtime. In the book of Genesis, let's go back to Genesis now. And in chapter 1, let's read from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And this was on the first day of creation. All right. Now, God created. It is said of the blessed Lord that all things that were created by him, and without him nothing was created that was created. But what I want to say here is get us an outline started, that God never created anything. He never created anything that he didn't create a law to rule it. Whatever he has created a law that will rule that creation. There's no think. Now, get your thinking bonnet on try to think of something that there's not a law, a natural law, that governs it. God made a law to govern everything that he made. Hallelujah. He's a great governor, but he's made a law. He's got inferior laws that governs inferior creations. But there's a law that governs every creation. And God said, all right, now here is, God said, this was just a void, and it was dark and nothing. It was nothing. It was just a conglomeration of nothing. And God said, let there be light. And you know what happened there? A lot of things happened right there, that very instant. When God said, let there be light, light began to radiate out of God. at 186,000 miles per second. And God has never told it to stop. And the scientists know that this universe is enlarging by a phenomenal degree, but they don't know what caused it. Well, here's what caused it. When you see the sun, he didn't take this light from the sun because he did this on the first day. There wasn't anything for it to come out of but him. Then on the fourth day, he created the sun and made it to govern the day, the light of the day, and the moon to govern the light of the night. But the light that radiated out of God will govern all lives. All lives are inferior to it. In him was life, and that life lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as did gave he them power to become the sons of God. Sons of God. We have a lot of things by birth. We've never moved into it, but we have the potential. Say, it wouldn't surprise me any that when the that when the chronicles of heaven are revealed, that this generation, this greatest generation that Tom Brokaw wrote about, will help miss their potential in God further than any generation that has come before them. We come further than any generation, but our potential was much greater than what we have attained to. Paul said, I've been apprehended, and I know what I was apprehended for, and I've spent my life trying to apprehend that I was apprehended for. I'm trying to catch up with it. I'm trying to lay hold of that that God intended for me. Hallelujah. This light came out of God. And in the finale, it'll be in us. Well, we got a little touch of it now, but we're going to have we're going to live by it. We're going to live. It's going to be the source of our life in the future. Hallelujah! It's going to be the very source of our life is this light. Light is power. Yeah, and God in Him was life. And that life lighteth, that life lights me. It lights every man that comes into the world. He's got a touch of that light that gives him life. And Paul said, the life that I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Paul got some of that old 220, didn't he? You know? And it put the... You ever try running a hand drill that's programmed for 220 and you're running it on 110? It'll run on 110. Then slap that 220 on it and zzzz. Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified by Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, I can handle that. Amen. I can handle that because he just took the responsibility off of me and puts it on him. I'm not living by my faith. I'm living by his faith in me. Hey, he believes I'll do it. Hallelujah. Hey, yeah, he believes you're going to make it. And that's the faith that he has in us that we're going to make it. And when I become conscious of that, it helps me. Hallelujah. He believes we're going to make it. Yeah, we've looked like terrible failures, but well, hallelujah. He'll wipe all of that away and bring us through all of that. Hallelujah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the law from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Oh, hallelujah. And when Shiloh comes, the gathering will be unto Shiloh. I am the Shiloh of God, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm the nail in the sure place. I will not fail. Yea, and they that follow me in the fullness of life shall not fail either. You shall go over and not under. I'll take you through and you won't stall out. I'll see you safely at Zion if you will just follow me as per instruction, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to do it, Lord. We're going to do it, Lord. All right, so did you know, let me, I'm like Brother Dago was more, I've got a big one here, and I won't be able to sift it out all that good, but Jesus, did you know that when he went to Calvary, he took all of our sins upon him, and he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, the Bible says that the enemy, oh, Satan, is accusing the brethren by day. Well, Satan heard this this statement that they all, like sheep, have gone astray. He said, hey, God, what about this? What are you going to do about it? All your sheep have gone astray. And the answer arose back, I'm going to lay the iniquity upon my son. I'll put it on my son's account. I'm going to charge him with it. And he'll settle it at Calvary. Hallelujah. He settled it with his own blood. We are purchased by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we're purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, they punctured his side. They drove the stakes through his hands and feet, and they bled him to death. All the blood was going out of him. But that was all right. They was going to bury him. And they buried him. And he was destined to stay in the ground 3 nights because the prophetic word had put him there. Hallelujah. And but the third day he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Yeah. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, that's on this side of Calvary. But on the other side of Calvary, the life of the flesh is not in the blood. Hear Jesus say to his disciples when he appeared through the wall, didn't have to open a door, didn't knock out a plank, and he looked, they recognized him by his appearance, and he invited them to feel of me and see that I'm not just a spirit. But he said, you know what he said here? He said, I'm flesh and bone. But before that, he had said he was flesh and blood. But now he's flesh and bone. His flesh is no longer being kept alive by the blood that flows through it, but it's being kept alive by the light of God that is flowing through his veins on the other side of Calvary. Oh, my God. When Jesus said, I go to the Father, he was saying more than you think he was saying, unless you know what he was saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God forever. He fixed it for us, didn't he? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he will gather together all things in him, both in the heaven and in the earth. And he's going to do it in that single dispensation, and we're at the threshold of that dispensation now if we know anything. And so, the Lord would say, it'd be foolish to consider and think that things will continue as they are now. I'm going to accelerate the move. I'm going to accelerate the move of God. I'm going to accelerate the words, the prophetic projections of the prophets. Yeah, and things are going to happen much faster than you have seen it before, saith the Lord. You will know that you're in the hands of the Lord when you recognize that it is the doings of God and a wonderful thing in the land of the living. Oh, praise God forever. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he said, I was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Paul said, if in this life only we had hope, we of all men would be most miserable. Wouldn't we be miserable creatures
if all the hope we had was in what we can do in 70 years plus a few for good behavior or whatever, and we'd be most miserable, wouldn't we? But, oh, it's not over. It's not over. This one phase will be over. All right, now, what I wanted to say and what I haven't said, let me stop here and say, this will surprise you if you've not heard me say it before, but I don't hesitate to say that I receive some of the things that I teach you as direct as the Apostle Paul received the things that he taught. Now, if you can receive that, why, it'll thrill you. If you can't receive it, well, just lay it up somewhere and pass it back before you, and you will be. I say again, I do not hesitate to say that some of the things that I teach come as direct to me as what Paul taught come to him. I got it by direct revelation. Come through nobody. I heard nobody say it. Read no book about it. Hey, I just, God spoke it to me, and I had the audacity to speak it again. All right, now, when God, I've already said that God made nothing that he didn't make a law to govern it. And, all right, now, when he said, let there be light, there was more happened than just the light went out of God. It was at this point that he created time. Now, you'll want to think about that a minute. So I'll let you think about it a minute. God created time. God is eternal. And all the realm around God is eternal. And but we are time creatures. We're time creatures. All right, so God, all right, I'm saying it loud and clear. And God created at the same time he created light, he created time so he could see what speed the light was traveling at. If he doesn't create time, can't tell how fast light's traveling. Can't tell nothing. So he created time, and this time is an element separate from eternity. It is separate from eternity. There's a gulf between the two that man can't cross until the day of crossing. Time. Now, time won't always exist. We have an angel in the book of Revelation, was it chapter 22 and verse 13, chapter 10 and 13, I believe it is, that the angel stands on one foot on the land and one on the sea, and that's 10 and 6, and declares by him that liveth and the creator of all things that time will be no more. How do you like that? We're here in a dying realm. Of time, and it's going to dissipate, and that'll be the good day. That'll be the glorious day. God created time to govern this world, Brother Dale. God created time to govern it. And how many of you would say time has done a pretty fair job at governing this world, hasn't it? You get up by it, you go to bed by it, you take your medicine by it, hallelujah, you go to church by it, you pick up your check by it. Hey, you're a time creature. We're really related to this time. Now, no wonder, as we get familiar with our true setting, no wonder it's hard for us to relate to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because we're time creatures. And now that's not the worst part of it. This time realm has to, it becomes, it dissipates, it's over at a certain time. But until that time, it's governing all of God's creation down here. And the whole realm is a realm of death. You're living in a death realm. Time is your friend, but hey, it's not only your friend, it's your enemy. Hallelujah. It's your friend while you're using it to an access, but finally it becomes your enemy and it takes you out. You've heard the old saying that hey, put a bushel of good apples here and throw a bad one in there and it'll make all of them go bad. Well, that's true as it can be, but there's a truth greater than that put that good barrel of apples here and don't put that bad one in them. and see what happens. They'll go bad without that bad one, won't they? They don't have to be primed here. The reason they'll go bad without the bad one is because death worketh in them. They're not dying from the outside in. They're dying from the inside out. And because they're in the death realm. And death is working. Paul said, death worketh in me. But life's working. Hey, if you can. Hey, death is working in me. But if you can receive this tonight, life is working in you. Hallelujah. Let me pray just a minute here. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd open the eyes, the revelation eyes, eyes of revelation, and let this people see. Lord, that you'd open the eyes of revelation and let this people see some of the things that you've spoken to me as direct as you spoke to Paul. And I pray further, Lord, that all the things that I say that will be profitable to the kingdom of God, that you indelibly print them in their hearts. And if I say anything that is not profitable to the kingdom of God, just let them forget it before they get out of the tabernacle. How's that? Praise the Lord. Hey, I say, I'm not looking for following, but I'll say this, that you can't get hurt following me. Because I'm not trying to build anything. I'm not trying to get a following. I'm not trying for prestige. Hey, when I get through rattling it all off, I haven't got but one thing motivating me. Hallelujah. I'm just not motivated by ulterior motives. I'm motivated by a call, by a commission that was given me of God. And that's why I preach it. But I don't, I don't need a thing. I need nothing. I have no need. Well, if my health could get a little better, but that'll be up to the Lord. But I don't have any reason. I don't want to gather a following. I don't. And I don't want any more prestige. I don't. I really don't. I just want to please God. So if you follow in a ministry like that, you can't get hurt. Hallelujah. But if you follow these that have their own agenda that God don't know nothing about, hey, you can get hurt. Yes. Better pay close attention to what we're doing as we come through. Because, hey, we're in charge of ourselves. Every man will have to answer for himself. And God has done His best to. All right. Have I established this fact that God created time when he took care of the formation of darkness and despair and nothing and brought a little form to it and said, let there be light? He also created time. You remember when Jesus said in the 10th chapter of St. John, verse 17, we turn over and just read it so it's, we know we don't make any mistakes. And I can quote all of these. Well, I used to could quote all of them. I was kind of like Bill Smith said. He had a guy in his church that was a young man, but he wasn't extremely young, but he was like 35, maybe 40. And he wanted to preach real bad, but he just wasn't no demand on him. And he told Brother Bill, said, and he said, Brother Bill, he said, hey, I don't know why I can't. Why don't people ask me to come preach? Said Brother Jack, he preaches all the time, and he has to, you know, people call him, he can't go. He's so busy. And I know as much as Brother Jack knows. And Bill said to him, and Bill told me about it later. Bill said to him, oh, Brother Jack's forgot more than you'll ever know about the kingdom of God. And Brother Bill was telling me about that, and he said, was that right, Brother Jack? And I said, yeah, but this would be more correct, that Brother Jack has forgot more than he and you both will ever know. I have forgotten more than I know now, I think. Well, but he brings I'm running through the computer here, and I've got a file on it somewhere. If he gets ready for it, well, he can direct me to it. If it has once appeared in here, and you got it on your ledger sheet, hey, it's still somewhere up there. You just can't flip the right ledger. You ever see somebody that you knew real well, but you can't call their name? I do this worse now than ever, but I've done this for a long time. I'd like to drive into town and park on the street, and somebody would come along, see me in the car, and come out and talk to me. And I knew them well, but I couldn't think of their name to save me. And I'd be trying all the time. We're going on the conversation. I'm trying to think what his name, so I can call him by his name. You know, people like to be called by their name. And but my wife comes back to the car, and I still haven't talked. And she converses with him, and then he walks off, and we drive off. And I said, "What was his name, Bob?" And she goes blank every time. And she knew him as well as I did. We both went to school with him, you know. So I said, "Well, try the ABCs on him." Well, all of those old trial things will fail, but I tell you what will work. Just relax. Just forget about it and relax, and in a few minutes, his name will come to you. I do that so often. I finally, when I got tired of being over anxious, I slow down in them files, and I can get to it. Hallelujah. Well, God, in His wonderful, magnificent life of mercy, He created us to, and He's been trying to. You know what? Now let me see here. What I want to show you is, all right, the seven dispensations has to pass over us before the world is cleansed. In that seventh dispensation, all will come to God that will come to God. But there will be people that never will come to God, and it tells about them, 20th chapter of Revelation, when the Satan is loosed and goes out for a season, and he has many followers. They miss God, I'll tell you they did. All right. But let me define dispensation for us. I must do that in case somebody doesn't know what a dispensation is. It's a period of time allotted by God in which God will dispense a portion of His life into humanity. He will dispense a portion of His life into humanity in each dispensation. There is, the first dispensation is the dispensation of innocence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 for a text, if you wanted that. Alright? Now God had a man, Adam, in the garden, and he was innocent. He had never sinned. He had never sinned, or he had never even thought about sinning. And he was in the garden. He was completely innocent. He and his wife, Eve, they were completely innocent, and they had the light of God radiated them. They were naked, but they didn't know it because they were being kept alive by the light of God, and they were transparent like Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration before they sinned. But now God looked at this situation, though, with Adam and Eve in a sinless condition, absolutely innocent, and God said, "Now, that's what I want, but there's something wrong here." You know, what's wrong here is that this man's innocent, and nothing wrong with that, except that he never has been tested. Now, what I want is a man with this innocence that has been tested. So, but God woke up his conscience. God woke up his conscience. And the dispensation of innocence effaced. Was superseded by the next dispensation, was the dispensation of conscience. Man's conscience would guide him. In chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 23, you come to that. That's Abel and Cain deal, you know. He's guided by his conscience. But until he sinned and was caught by the Almighty and made to know that he sinned, his conscience never had been activated. But now his conscience is activated, and he becomes a creature of choice. He'll have two ways presented to him, and he'll have to make a choice of which way he wants to go. He'll have a lifetime of choice making, and he'll have just his conscience to guide him. Used to be an old hillbilly song that went like the words to it was, "Let your conscience be your guide. He won't lie to you." I used to do them old hillbillies. Hillbilly when I did it. It was sure hillbilly when I did it.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Old hillbilly is hillbilly when I did it. It was sure hillbilly when I did it. conscience. All right, so, how, you know, that's still, so God, but God dispensed the spirit of innocence into humanity. Now, in the dispensation of conscience, he's going to dispense a conscience into man. He's going to give him a conscience, make him a man with choices. And then, but they all, well, a professor would say they all failed. But I'm not a professor, so I say that they all served their purpose and were successful. And they did what God intended for them to do. That's all he intended to do in that dispensation. And in the third dispensation, it was to be governed by human government. And that you get your text from Genesis 8 and 20, you know, after the flood. Man's going to make his own government. He'll have human government. And all right, that God certainly dispensed that portion of himself into humanity, didn't he? We want to govern. And we want our conscience to be still. Hallelujah. But in that day, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." That may be your conscience. So then, this one failed, or I'm using the word failed, but when it was concluded, God had dispensed that element into us. And then the next dispensation was a dispensation of promise. Best known one, Abraham chapter 12 in Genesis. In verse 1, God called him out and just gave him a promise. And he walked up and down the land as a pilgrim, didn't have anything but the promise. He had the promise of a son, but he didn't have a son. He had the promise of extreme wealth, but he didn't own a foot of land. But he was going, he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness, didn't he? Hey, if you believe God, it'll be to your credit. It'll put several marks over on your credit. If you believe in God, do you believe God? Hallelujah. All right, so Abraham followed him, but Abraham was the richest man in the world, in the known world at that time. And it is well known now that men knew how to take stone and build buildings. They built castles. Some castles predate Abraham that's still standing. The reason I mention this is it seems to me that Abraham should have built a castle for himself and for his bride. Oh, hallelujah. But he didn't. And I'm sure that the question arose, Abraham, you're the richest man in the world. Why don't you build a castle? You're living in these tents. And he said, well, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm looking for something. What are you looking for? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. And John finally seen that city coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her bridegroom. Say, you know, I came through the latter rain movement. Hey, I've been through all the movements. Well, the latter rain was a good movement. All of them have been good movements. They start out with God, but that human government instinct takes over. Well, what happened to the latter rain was that all the leadership went bad. Then come the charismatics and overcorrected. Didn't have no leadership. I don't know if that's what they done it for or not. I don't know if they knew they were overcorrecting here. They take care of that problem. We won't have no leaders. But that's what happened to it. And it fizzled out. Now we call ourselves move of God. And it's kindly odd to ask somebody what move of God means. But in case somebody's wondering, though, it is the latest thing that God is doing. The latest thing on the agenda for today. That's a move of God. At our church, I got on my sign there. This is a move of God church. And we're trying to move with God. He lived by a promise. And God didn't he didn't reject any of these. He just, and he brought them to a fulfillment. So he made man, he opened up the spirit of receiving by promise, and he's dispensed that part. Then comes the grace dispensation. That law was, comes the law. This one was Abraham's 12th chapter of Genesis 1. The law is in Exodus 19 and 8. We got the law. And the law is contained in commandments, and in statutes, and in judgments, and in ordinances, and we got the law. And God was, of course, God was doing all of this. Hey, if we just be still, God will do most of it, and we won't. And we won't have to do much, just kind of, you know, just come along with Him. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace is what saved you. And you had to have faith to get it to do it, but it was just grace alone. You know, Paul had a problem with this with the Galatians. They said, Gentiles come in and say, we got saved. Why, you can't be saved unless you are circumcised. And Paul said they became enemies to the cross. They were saying that grace is not enough alone to save you. And it's remarkable to learn that Paul commended every church that he wrote to. Give them a great commendation. And right at the opening of his letter, he would commend them brilliantly and fluently. And except Galatians, he didn't commend them. They had got bewitched. Who hath bewitched you? Hey, you started out in the Spirit. Now you think you're going to be made perfect by with and by things. It'll never happen. It will never happen. Oh, I was... when I was sick, you know, folks thought I was going to die. Well, I did too, I think. And so people would come and try to, you know, and they'd talk to me. Didn't want to tell me, hey, Brother Jack, you're going to die. But they would tell me, hey, you won't mind meeting the Lord with all the good credits you got. You say, you preached 700 funerals and married 300 couples and you've done hundreds of special services. You pastored 40 odd years. And you can quote the scriptures from the front to the back, almost. And you wouldn't have a thing to fear, would you? And I said, well, I tell you this. When I stand before Him, I'm not going to mention any of that. No, sir. I won't mention any of that. I'm just going to stand before Him as one appealing to His grace. His grace won't need all of this to help His grace secure me. Hallelujah. And I will have entered in by His grace. The grace of God. All right. The law was good because it brought us to Christ. It taught us about Christ and taught us we've got to have some laws to live together. You know, back in the old days, they could settle it with, they all wore those 45 revolvers, Colt 45 revolver, and they could pretty well take care of everybody's business with that. But you can't do that anymore, because they got some toys out there now that makes that Colt 45 revolver look more like a bow and arrow, or predate that. But we got laws to govern us. You can't stop up the creek and use all the water before it gets down to your neighbor. There's a law that will govern that. And if you try to abuse your neighbor, there's a law that governs that. That we have laws. And of course, the law is one of the great attributes of God. So He was dispensing the attributes of law. We're not interested in the law as rituals, but we're interested in the principle of the law. I do not adhere to the letter of the law. I adhere to the principle of the law. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Peter said to the blessed Lord, hey, Lord, how many times ought I forgive this guy? It's just repetitious. He said, should I forgive him 49 times? Well, and Jesus said, no, I say not 49, but 7 times that. 300 and something, isn't it? 400 and something. All right, now, did he mean for the Apostle Peter to go verbatim by the law of the Word, or did he just give him a principle? If he meant for him to go according to the law verbatim, he'd have to, on the 497th or whichever time, he could use his own judgment. But until there, he had to turn the other cheek. But that wasn't what he was saying at all. He was just teaching him a principle to be long-suffering and ever-forgiving. And don't worry about the particulars of that law. It's easy. And so we walk under the laws of God. God put us here, and he gave a law to govern us. And he's still governing us by his law. I'm not bound to the law of Moses. I'm bound to the law of God. I didn't live in that day. Had I lived in that day, I'd probably tried to adhere to it. But I'm a law-abiding citizen. Hallelujah. And I know that most of you are too. And God dispensed that into us. Now we come to the sixth dispensation, and that's grace. Hallelujah. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1. St. John 1 and verse 17, this is the grace dispensation. And it's been in force ever since Jesus came, and still is. And it will always be in force. But the dispensation will pass away, but the attributes of it will last. After you quit saying forever, the attributes of it will last. If you say the attributes of it will last forever, forever is a time word. So we don't hardly know how to talk without paying tribute to this time element, but there's an element beyond it that you wouldn't say everlasting. It's eternal. Then I was going to show you that chapter in St. John chapter 10 and verse 17, I believe, and I took off another direction. I'll get back there and get that. And praise the Lord. I don't know just where we are in time here, but I guess we still got some on the clock. Praise the Lord. 10, all right, in the 10th chapter in the 17th verse, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. But the thing that I would point out here is that nowhere in the Scripture is Jesus credited with raising himself from the dead. But wherever the incident is mentioned, it strictly says that God raised up Jesus from the dead. He had to die in faith, believing that the Father would raise him up. All right, but now, he laid down his life. Don't just tie this to that day at Calvary. It included that, but that was just a little bit of what it was talking about. He laid down his life for 33 and a half years. Every minute, he was laying down his life. And when it was over, he would return back to the Father, and he would take up the position that he had with the Father before the worlds were. But God would have to raise him from the dead. And then he came back and took up his former position with the glory that he had with the Father before the worlds were. And that's what he was saying. He said that's what he'd do, and that's what he'd done. He wasn't just talking about dying at Calvary, no sir. His words were far more penetrating and meaningful than that. Then that took care of the dispensation of that's the dispensation of grace. Now, then we come back to our text that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's the one we're facing right now. We could actually be in that dispensation now. I mean, there's nothing to distinctly mark where the other one ends and this one begins. Or should I say, we ends, for the grace of God will never end. Yeah, I know you hear the television preacher saying, when the grace of God has been, is no more. Well, they are just trying to pull some heartstrings, and they're going to, you watch them, they're fixing to take up an offering right after that. Because the grace of God is not going to be over. It will be in eternity. That's where it was to start with. Oh, my God. I'd need two more hours, and I could wrap this up and put some pretty ribbons on it, but I'm hitting high places, and I know it. But a lot of this the Lord gave me by revelation. I heard nobody handle it. Nobody. I've done it before, and somebody might hear me and use some of it. That's the way that we do anyhow. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We learn from each other. Children learn from each other. That's part of our... Well, but the next dispensation will be the kingdom age, and that's when he does it. A child will die at 100 years old in that age. You say, will everybody that goes into that dispensation meet God in peace? No, sorry to say they won't. It's almost a perfect, and will be a perfect dispensation when it gets to the end of it. But as we go through, it's still plagued with sin, but not. It's almost removed. A man will reach the age of accountability at 100 years old. He'll have 100 years to accept God in the kingdom age. He hadn't had that long in this age, has he? Yeah. He will have, and if he doesn't accept him by the 100 years, he'll be cut off. A child dies at 100 years old. That is, if somebody died at 100 and you're preaching their funeral, you'd probably mention the fact they cut off in a very youth of life. Out of the 700 funerals I preached, only one that I am absolutely sure of, one was over 100. She was 105 and a half. She was my daddy's sister. And I'd always wanted to preach one that had been here 100 years. I preached a lot of 90s, way in the 90s. I preached about a dozen of them the last two or three weeks. All the 90 and up died with the flu, you know, just one at a time. They had a lot of things wrong with them, and they just died, you know. But that's how removed it is. And instead of seeing, driving down the road and seeing all the signs that that's advertising beverages, alcoholic beverages, and trying to steal the kids' hearts with these cute signs and on television, all of that will be oriented toward God. God's going to set some standards in this dispensation that he has not required in the others. But we'll have all the attributes of the dispensations past. God dispensed. He now, by that time, he has dispensed six of seven parts. He has dispensed into humanity, and he's working on the seventh one to dispense it into humanity. But there will be trouble for years in there. I show you. Let me give you an example. We go into the kingdom age. We used to call it the millennial kingdom. The seventh dispensation it is. The Bible's calling it here. All right, we go into that now. Say we went into that today. All right, we think that just pure folks go into it. And you'd have to meet certain qualifications to go into it, all right. But if we just take the pure into it, And then would we be expected to be rid of the enemy? Not on your life. Because somewhere in here is a 16-year-old girl that's pregnant. And she's unmarried, and she's been on drugs. And in a few months, she's going to bear a child that will be addicted to drugs. And there are no drugs. And he'll probably wind up in a padded cell. And won't know his name, but he'll live another 75 years. So you're still seeing the results of sin that was committed before the age began. You still see the results of it for 100 years. But we're not hatching any new ones down this road here, because when we get to the end of it, now here comes the goody of it, that when we get to the end of this dispensation... And I say again, grace will always be prevalent with us. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And Peter tells us where this one ends. It ends with a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and it will be eternal. We'll be back where we started from, in God. Hallelujah. And if you want to know what happens beyond that, I don't know. Maybe we'll get some, maybe it won't make any difference. Maybe if it does, we'll get revelation when we get there. But that'll take care of us for as long as we're in this realm of time. The realm of time will eventually kill us. It is appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. There is, if you say every man has to die, I'd have to point you out a couple that didn't. And then that would follow your theory, wouldn't it? So there is a way to stay alive forever and go right into the kingdom dispensation, or out of the kingdom dispensation into eternity alive without ever having died. But it's a pure way, and you can't. Nobody has done it that I know of. But then who am I to know? I mean, it could have happened. There's hundreds of thousands of people go missing in this nation every year, and in the world every year, that are never heard of again. I don't know what become of them. Just something to think about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, but God's raising up a people right now that Isaiah described them in these words. The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. Glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an ark, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land pools of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And highways shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall go up thereon, and no beast shall be found above. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sickness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I can stand an application of that, can't you?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's raising us up to be conquerors. He's raising us up in victory because He's our God.
Hallelujah.
And He loves us.
Yeah.
And we're dependent to Him. I said about the preacher that was preaching when grace is no more. I don't know if he was trying to preach God's funeral or not, but that's what it would amount to. Grace don't expire till God does, and He's never going to expire.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you about the time I was riding down the road with another preacher and myself, and we were traveling overnight to get to our next destination, and was listening to these preachers from Del Rio, Texas, one right after another, just something kind of to keep us awake. And each one of them had come on there, and he assured us that he's the only one that, was preaching the Word, and the rest of them was crooks, and he'd, the offering was the big thing on there. And finally, we listened to four or five of them, didn't make much comment. We knew we both had about the same idea about it. And then finally one comes on there and he assures us with all assurance that he is the only one. And that the rest of them, he's going to preach. He said, I'm going to preach out of the Bible. The rest of them just preach in their minds and from their spirits. But I'm going to preach to you right out of the Bible. And he took up 30 minutes. And he didn't mention one scripture, didn't quote one, didn't read one. And he gave his name and address 17 times. And then he prayed. And the program was over. And this brother said, well, Brother Jack, tell me what did he do? And I said, well, he's the only one done what he said he's going to do. He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, he told us right in the mouth of the gun he was going to preach out of the Bible, and he sure never did get in it." Hallelujah. He done it just like he said. Let's stand. I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray first for Glenn and Irma. I pray that the Lord would impart strength to them and strengthen their physical bodies and just bring healing to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, strengthen these bodies, Lord. Renew, O Lord. You could renew us. You could renew Irma, Lord. My God, and bring her to what would be normal for a lady like her that's in perfect health and her age. You could bring her to that normality, O Lord, with just one stroke or one touch or one breath, O Lord. And help Glenn, Lord, as he's under this heavy burden, O Lord, and he's burdened down. And God, he knows about as much about casting them on you as most of us do, but it just overloads him. And I pray, Lord, that you'd kindly utilize that weight for him, Lord, and that burden, and help him with it. Send somebody to help him, Lord, and help Irma, Lord. Help her in her physical and in her mentality, O Lord. Great God, help her, O Lord. She's a precious soul. My Lord, a precious warrior. And all of her life, Lord, she's lived for you. But now we're just begging for grace, O Lord, we are. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. In your precious name tonight, we thank you for these good friend, brother, and sister in the Lord that has meant so much to us. Have they meant so much to you, haven't they? They have done a great work, but like I said about myself, they wouldn't want to mention that before the throne. They just appeal to God for His grace. Your grace and grace alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you have opened the eyes and hearts of those with this revelation teaching, Lord. And Lord, it, you know, it's scriptural and it can easily be backed up. I didn't just prove it all by scripture, but I gave a preponderance of evidence that what I was saying was true. Hallelujah. And I'll do it again, Lord, if you spare me and make me available and place available. I'll tell it again. I'll tell of your goodness, O Lord. I pray health and prosperity into this people that are before me tonight, O Lord. I pray that if there's any financial needs, that you'd meet them, Lord. Meet them this week, Lord, so they start the new year without any financial burden, O Lord. And for those that have wayward children, Lord, now I feel that there are several here that would fall into that category. You have children that are rebellious. They know better, but they're just not doing better. And they won't ever do any better unless God gets hold of them. Unless you can expose them to God and God gets hold of them, they'll never do any better, but they'll do worse. But I'm praying, Lord, that they will have that exposure and that they'll have the good sense and the good conscience to accept you, Lord. Because you are our only hope. Whether we be big, strong, or little and weak, dumb or smart, you're our own hope, our only hope, O Lord. There's not another name given under heaven whereby that man must be saved. He's been given a name that is exalted above every name, and at that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is a shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall bless your going in and coming out from henceforth and forevermore. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in God. In God. In God. Praise the Lord. God bless you real good. We dismiss? You dismiss. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. And lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.